Hey, this is a disclaimer that we are not historians. We're comedians who enjoy history, gossip, and each other's company. Everything discussed is true to the best of our sexy knowledge.
Also, this show is not for kids. There will be death, sex, and swearing. We want to make you feel good, but history gets pretty dark. So make sure to check the show notes for more details before listening. Historical
Hookups. Welcome to Historical Hookups. We're here to hook you up with history. My name is Savannah Parra.
I'm Nolinda Palomino.
I'm Lauren Bancroft.
And I'm Sarah Golub.
If you're new to the podcast, we take a historical romance and we dive into it. And with every episode, we actually start with a question that kind of relates to who we're talking about.
So the question is, what is your favorite power couple?
Ooh. Fictional or non-fictional, right?
Either. I'm going either.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Great. I'm going to start. My favorite fictional power couple, it's actually Frank and Claire Underwood from House of Cards.
So good.
It's a good one.
So good, but so sad that, you know, because of, you know, his questionable nature. Yeah. Terrible nature. The show had to go in the direction it did. And it made me very sad because I was such a huge fan. Because I loved the show because I loved them together. And then it all went to shit. And here we are. I'm not bitter. Wait, I am. That's my favorite power couple, yeah.
It's odd how what's so endearing in a fictional character, that same conniving energy in real life, real off-putting.
Yeah, it doesn't translate.
No, but I agree because I really love them together.
They're so great.
He's just a terrible human being.
Yeah, but the characters, like, they're so equally powerful and scary and cutthroat.
Yeah.
And, like, there's an understanding there. When they're out of sync, it sucks, but when they're in sync, holy crap.
Off of that, I think my favorite fictional power couple are probably the Macbeths.
Yeah. All right.
I like how we're all choosing women that kind of control their men.
Yeah.
Like, do it. Kill him.
In, like, real life, when I think of, like, a famous couple I really like, it's, like, Maya Rudolph and Paul Thomas Anderson.
Oh, my God. That's a great one.
They just seem nice and they're making good art and they're not bothering nobody.
Oh.
Hopefully they're not also killing people, but, you know, if they were, so be it.
That's a really good one.
What about you, Savannah?
I'm going to go with Frida Kahlo and Diego Rivera because we just recorded our other podcast and they're fresh in my mind. And while he cheated on her quite a bit, I'd like to think that they were like an artistic power couple, not like Maya Rudolph and Paul Thomas Anderson were doing nice things.
They were more of a direct, like, walk into a room, we run this bitch power couple.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's definitely some OTP vibes coming off of Diego and Frida Kahlo. So
I'm going to just say Beyonce. Fuck Jay-Z. Wow. Beyonce is a great power couple to herself.
I don't think there's a single person who would argue with
that. Yeah, if you watch Homecoming and how she, like, talked to the crew and said, like, you know, I don't want to give any more notes because you guys aren't doing it, anything I say, so what's the point?
Get it.
Beyonce is a powerful woman.
Yes.
And Jay-Z's just sitting there, so I guess they're a couple, but she's amazing.
I guess.
Right, he's the subject of some of her songs.
Yeah.
And, you know, everyone needs a muse.
Sure. Everyone needs a muse.
Yeah, but you wouldn't need a muse if, well, I don't know, because he was a muse because he, like, you know, had an affair.
Yeah. I mean, knowing the background of Jay-Z, he is pretty amazing. He doesn't write down any of his lyrics, and it's all in his head, and he remembers everything.
Wow.
It's all in his
own. Okay, that does impress me.
Yeah. He created a lot of music with Rockefeller, and...
He is still not half of the Beyonce power.
Right. I'd still he's consider, like, his greatest accomplishment marrying Beyonce.
Yeah, but he's a third.
So we're going to jump right in, and Sarah and Lauren are going to educate Nolinda and I about...
The most successful pirate of all time, Jing Shi, who is a woman.
Yes.
Not the most successful female pirate, the most fucking successful pirate.
I mean, she was objectively also the most successful female pirate, but that is not the point.
Yeah, but it's not one of those...
You don't have to say female pirate.
Yeah.
You just have to say pirate.
Yeah.
Oh, we can live in a world. Well, that's the norm.
She was born in 1775. She mostly operated as pirate queen, more or less, in the early 1800s with her... husband and then her second husband, and they commanded a fleet that was like at least 40,000 ships, and at least 40,000 pirates.
Damn.
But up to 70 to 80,000 pirates. And to put that in perspective, Blackbeard, who has like a gazillion movies and books and whatever, commanded 300 pirates.
Oh my gosh.
Come on.
Wouldn't even have made a dent in her fleet. Wouldn't have even made a dent. So there's not a lot of information about her. And I want to put a little disclaimer here. Lauren and I we don't speak Cantonese.
We do not.
We are Americans who do not speak Cantonese.
We're trying, I think
we are trying.
Probably what we want to get across.
What I want to get across is that we watched documentaries and listen to podcasts and TED Talks or whatever, and the pronunciation varies, and so we are saying one of the pronunciations, and we apologize if we're butchering it, but it comes from not being able to get like a super clear, definitive pronunciation, and not because we're just being assholes. I just want to. Okay.
Disclaimer.
Great. Well, I'll start us off with some basics. As Sarah said, Zheng Xi was born in 1775. Actually, if you've seen Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End, you actually already know that she exists because there was a character, one of the pirate lords was based off of her. So there's an older Chinese pirate lord and based off of her.
Oh, okay.
And
yeah.
In the movie, her name was Mistress Chang. But it's inspired by
the better pirate.
Okay. Yeah, it's one of the many names she goes by.
Yeah, so many names. Like she was born Shi Yang, and she was also known as Cheng Yi Sao, which is wife of Cheng, which is her first husband, which we will get into. But she was also known as Terror of South China. So
love it.
Come on.
So badass.
She was a prostitute on a floating brothel. So she was a sex worker. Like a badass. And she actually, while she was a prostitute, that kind of gave her some insight into like the loose lips of like naval officers.
Yeah.
And she learned a lot, and she learned a lot about like the government officials and how the military worked.
So is the redhead in Pirates of the Caribbean basically her?
What?
Like, you know, she like the redhead was a prostitute, and now they changed it to her being kind of a pirate.
The ride at Disneyland. Yes. Yeah. Well, that's, I mean, I'm going to say that now.
Yeah. The ride at Disneyland. It's
probably
her story.
True. So she met her husband in 1801. He was 33. She was 26. So her husband's name was Zheng Yi. And when he proposed, she said, "I'll marry you, but I want half of your fleet, half of your booty, and half of your command." And he agreed. So he wanted to marry her so bad that she made these crazy demands. And he's like, "Yep, I'm down." So she and her husband ruled. Initially, they had 300 ships in the Red Fleet. That's what his fleet of ships was called. Together, it grew to 1700 to 1800 ships because they were just a power couple.
Coming full circle to that question.
He'd done a really good job of, like, he had built this fleet up on his own, but then once he married her, it really fucking boomed.
Yeah. She was a very savvy businesswoman. She was climbing up those ranks.
Men talk.
So, do you want to talk about the proposal?
Yeah. So we mentioned that the research we found, a lot of different sources, a lot of different pronunciations. Also, a lot is like unknown. It's kind of choose your own adventure-y in some respects, because there's not a lot of English documentation on her history. But there are two theories of how the proposal went. One was just a straight up, "Will you marry me?" And then she made her demands, and then that was that. Mm-hmm. And the other one was that he ordered a raid on the brothel and ordered that she be brought to him. But then she made her demands and they got it. So it's really like, which do you want to believe? I want to believe that he was so enamored with her that he's like, "Hey, babe, let's make this legit." But I don't know. Maybe it was a raid. Who knows?
Maybe it was a little bit of both.
Yeah.
And honestly, even if it was a raid, that doesn't necessarily mean that she wasn't, like, in on it. But, like, maybe he just didn't want to pay for her.
Oh. Cheap bastard.
Yeah, just a stealer.
Yeah.
Bring her here, and then I'll ask, and she will agree, as you do in a respectful marriage.
That's a good point.
Mm-hmm. So, Zheng Yi was from a long line of pirates. He was from a pirate family. And they ruled together as a power couple until he either A, died in a tsunami, or B, was murdered in Vietnam. So many options. Choose your own adventure. So yeah, that was their rule. He was 33, she was 26, and so at 26 she was co-ruling a fleet. So then he died.
So now she's 32 years old, and she's in kind of this precarious position because the whole fleet is, because really he had united these fleets. It had been a much smaller fleet before.
They had united.
They had, yes. Yes. But basically people were like, this guy's dead. What are we going to do? He had selected an heir.
Selected.
We're gonna backtrack into that. But there was an adult man who he had adopted as his son in order to declare as his heir, and there was the question of whether that guy was gonna take it or maybe someone else was gonna take it. And what she did is she went to that guy, Zhang Bao, and was like, okay, I'm gonna take over and you're gonna support me. And he was like, cool. And with the two of them going up to the other, like, pirate leaders, pirate council, and being like, we got this. They were like, cool, you got this. And it really, once they got the support of Jing Yi's family, it was, like, settled. It was like, great, you guys on it.
Wow, she was, like, really persuasive. Like, yeah. All these men were like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, and the fact that she went to the heir and was like, he could have taken over the whole thing.
Yeah.
But instead, she's like, how about you take this little area and I take over everything?
Yeah.
And he's like, all right.
Yeah, sure.
She's, like, giving him an out, though, yeah. Right? Like, you don't want that much responsibility if you're not ready for it. I'll take two ships.
Listen to your adopted mother you met when you were already an adult.
With, like, no lineage of, like, piracy in her blood. She's, yeah. Like, mm-hmm. Well, self-starter.
It's the businesswoman in her.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. She's an entrepreneurial nature. And it translated to blowing up this pirate business in a good way. Not, like, blowing it up.
Yeah. You get it. And Zhang Bao had, of course, been very close to them as their adult adopted son and probably was well aware of how much she was doing to run the ship. But it's still like, she could have been ousted at that very moment. You know, they could have, mm-hmm. You know, more sexist people might have just been like, I don't care what you've done. You're a woman, get out of here. And they didn't. She was, after that point, commanding the fleet and continued to do so until, we'll get to that. But a few weeks after this, she took Zhang Bao, her adult adopted son, as her lover.
Naturally.
And that was something where I had believed that it was like a political marriage, that she, like, they did it so that they could take over, but, like, they don't actually get married until way later. So I think they were just lovers. They were just into it. Not to wildly speculate, but it didn't seem like they needed to fuck, and it seemed like they were. So together they ultimately ended up ruling over, yeah, a fleet of 1,800 ships. That's that was the crazy fleet she took over with Zhang Bao. Zhang Bao was 24 at this point when she took him as a lover. She was 32. So not like a crazy, yeah, not a crazy age difference, but still nice to see an older lady.
But like a 24-year-old guy is pretty immature.
Yeah.
True. He was her son.
Yeah. Compared to a 32-year-old woman. I wouldn't be dating someone
and
at
like
24.
In our research, when we saw that she started having an affair and eventually married her adopted son, we were like, ooh. But then, like, the whole adult adopting, apparently it's a real thing that people did.
Yeah. At the age of 15, Zhang Bao was kidnapped and pressed into service, into the fleet. Basically one of those things where it's like, you can join the pirates or you can drown. And he joined the pirates. And he moved up the ranks until eventually he caught Jing Yi's eye and was, like, adopted, taking in as a protege. And according to some people, enough sources have said this that I feel very confident saying it, even though I would love, like, a real solid primary source on this. He was Jing Yi's lover, and that's, like, it was one of those, like, this is a common practice, but it was, as his lover, the adoption was sort of a way to, like, make this guy an heir, like, bring him into the family. Like, it wasn't like, you are my son. It was like, you are part of the family, part of the life.
Yeah, it's like, marry him, but
Yeah.
What you can actually do.
Exactly. Yeah.
But also, we're having some sex.
Yeah.
As well.
Which is, you know, get it. And this is a source from Diane H. Murray, who wrote Pirates of the South China Coast. The quote, unlike in West, adult adoption was often practiced in China in order to establish a kinship basis for further interaction, particularly of a business or disciplineship sort. So Chang Yi adopting an adolescent fisherman's son was not, like, super fucking weird. People weren't like, what are you doing? They were like, oh, of course, you're mentoring this guy or whatever.
I like
probably banging him.
So formal, because I'm like, aren't you just a pirate? Doesn't he be like, well, he's the heir. Like, you don't have to, like, formally be like, he's adopted. We have the paperwork. Like, it doesn't seem very pirate, like, the way I think of a pirate in my head.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, you think of, like, no rules or, like, whatever.
Yeah, and it was a legal thing, because it was actually, we'll get to this later, but, like, she can't marry him because she's legally his mom.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
They just had to work around that. Wow. They took care of it. We'll get there.
Okay. I want to just toss in here. A lot of stuff is like, Zheng Bao was Jing Yi's lover, and then after Jing Yi died, he became Jing Shi's lover. But, like, I bet there was overlap, right? There's got to have been, right?
Probably.
Yeah. I mean, if they're not having threesomes at least sometimes, then what are we doing here?
What are they doing? Yeah. If they're not,
it just seems like a waste if literally all three of them are into each other. Mm-hmm. Though maybe... maybe Jing Shi and Zheng Bao were like, if only we could get rid of this other guy. I don't know.
And then the tsunami or killed in Vietnam. Yeah. Again, we don't know.
A lot of stuff can happen out at sea, guys. Jing Shi and Zheng Bao were really effective power couple, especially because it seemed like he was very good at taking her leadership. She was running command and he was, I think, more out there doing
like, he was a face and she was all business.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, he was, like, he was commanding fleets, and then, but everyone answered to her.
Cool.
And they together wrote this really interesting code. Part of the reason why, with so many fucking pirates under their command, like, they had a super fucking strict code because they needed to really scare people into staying in line. For starters, anyone who gave their own orders that didn't come from Jing Shi or disobeyed those of a superior, beheaded on the spot.
All
right. Just gone.
Yeah.
Strict.
The next item was no one could steal from the public fund or any villagers that supplied the pirates. Because all the booty that they took, 20% of it they were allowed to keep and 80% of it was put into a communal pirate fund. So
that's kind of nice.
So yeah, if you stole from the public fund, I believe you were beheaded.
Yep,
beheading is like prevalent.
It's the go-to. It's you know what? It's reliable.
But now you know. I'm like, now you know why they had so many. It's like guaranteed benefit.
Mm-hmm. Probably a retirement plan.
Yeah,
if you make it that long.
Plus, she made villages basically pay for the right to not be plundered. Mm-hmm. And they went to town if you didn't pay them. Like, this wasn't a merciful group. They really wrecked your shit if you didn't pay up. But I do think there is something to, like, if anyone doesn't respect that this village paid up, you are also beheaded. Which, if I'm terrified townsperson, I'd be like, oh, this actually buys my protection. They're not just saying that. Like, actually, if someone comes after me, they'll die. Mm-hmm. And as part of the communal thing, like, any booty they stole had to be presented. You had to fucking disclose that shit. You couldn't just go rogue on it.
Or you would be beheaded.
Yeah, you're getting it. You're getting it.
I think I understand.
First time offense, just a classic pirate whipping. And then the beheadings. Then the beheadings. Okay. Something, I want to say progressive, for the time. Straight up, there was just no wiggle room on pirates taking advantage of female captives. If you were caught having raped a female captive, beheaded. If you were caught having had consensual sex with a female captive, which I think, if we're honest, in a situation is probably told them you were into it at gunpoint or whatever, also beheaded. Except that also in that situation, if she says she agreed to it, she also was drowned.
Yeah, she was, a weight was tied to her waist and thrown overboard. So
wow,
not great. But no. I think greater. I think it probably was a very good deterrent to keep men away from female prisoners.
But if a guy wanted to sleep with a female captive, he could offer to marry her. And if that was blessed and then it was allowed to happen, then he would have to stay faithful to her. And if he was not faithful to her, he would be beheaded. So he has to ask permission to marry a captive so that they can have sex. And then he could only have sex with her. These are the rules.
Yeah.
These are the rules.
Yeah.
I'm glad they had these rules.
Yeah.
Was that really her rules, you think?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She put this code together.
She and her son lover wrote them together.
I wonder if it's like... From back in the day, she's like, knows how it was, so
yeah,
she's like, I'm not gonna have these young ladies happen what happened to me, so we'll put these rules and behead everyone. Plus, also, I just really like to behead people, so
yeah.
Trying to get that.
It would make you think twice, though, right? You'd be like, I don't want to do this because I don't want to die.
Or I don't want to have consensual sex with this captive because I don't want her to die.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess they'll get married.
Yep. Settle down.
I think it's very bold that she was like, also, yeah, you can't sleep around.
Yeah.
That's a stance. Yeah.
Punishable by death.
I will say, when they took female captives, they did keep pretty ones in the hopes of selling them as wives and or ransoming back to their families. And then the ugly ones... According to multiple sources, and I don't believe this because it sounds ridiculous, but the ugly ones will let go.
Yep.
Can you imagine the feeling of relief and offense to be let go?
Man.
It's like, I think you're let go. It's like, because you're ugly. I just want you to know we're letting you go because you're super, super ugly.
Look, women already have enough trouble with self-esteem. Okay? Yeah. We wouldn't need this, too. Rude.
But also, I can imagine, like, messing up my hair and be like, no, get me out of here.
Yeah, totally.
I'm very ugly.
You have a limp and
where's
just
the
suddenly...
bad lighting?
Yeah. Where's the bad lighting on this ship?
I wonder what the judgment was of how ugly a woman was back then.
I would be stoked if I was ugly. I'd be like, yes, oh, the face that I've hated so long.
Oh, now it just went dark and I was like, you probably like would mess up your face.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Oh, yeah.
Thinking someone would think you're ugly.
Mm. Just girls sucker punching each other in the deck.
Yeah.
Anyway, pirate times are dark, guys.
Yep.
But I respect that she had a code in place, even if it wasn't perfect.
And another thing about the pirate code, if you were not following orders, your ears were also cut off and then passed around the ship as a warning to other pirates.
Yeah. Oh, I don't want that.
Yeah.
So you better listen up.
But also, it's like, it's such an amazing, like, passive-aggressive move to be like, well, you didn't follow orders, so obviously you're not using your fucking ears.
Yeah.
But, like, that won't do anything. You're still, like, it's just the outside part, right? Like, you're still going to be able to hear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it just creeps me out. Ugh.
Okay, well, let's skip to kind of closer to the end of her reign. After several years of pirating, she sought amnesty for... not just herself, but for all of her pirates from the Chinese government. So she actually went to Bai Ling, a Chinese official's office, surrounded by 17 wives and children of her crew to discuss her terms. Because they were just destroying the Chinese Navy. It was pretty clear that they always had the upper hand. The Chinese government was open to talking about a deal where they would stop. So Bai Ling initially was not into the demands because she's like, total amnesty. We get to keep all of our booty and you also give any of the pirates jobs if they want them. So like, these were pretty high demands.
Yeah.
She went in with a very powerful stance, and eventually she got everything she wanted, but it took like months of like back and forth for him to finally agree.
She have like a negotiating tactics masterclass that we could
can we yeah take? I think it was called burning down the Navy.
Yeah, she really did a number on them.
Well, I figure she'd like they outnumbered them, right?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Part of the problem, I'm skipping ahead here, but part of the problem is like, she was great at this. Like, I don't want to in any way diminish that because she was a fucking pro, a fucking master, top of the class, but part of the reason why piracy had taken off is because the Navy just, like, really wasn't trying, wasn't funded, weren't really paying attention to the pirate problem until she seized that total lack of government power to be like, hey, everyone who probably would be in the fucking Navy, just join the pirates instead. Well, we got so many more ships.
And we could pay you.
Yeah, exactly.
And with all the Navy ships that they did overtake, they gave them that ultimatum of, are you going to die or are you going to join the pirates? So, like, even if they lost pirates in a battle, they were replaced by legitimate sailors, like people who were trained by this underfunded Chinese Navy. So as far as the negotiations with Bai Ling went, again, it took forever. He didn't want to approve this amnesty because nobody would get punished for any of the, you know, pillaging that they did. So he finally agreed, but his counteroffer was she and her son lover, which is what we call him.
Yeah.
had to bow before Bai Ling. And she's like, I'm not going to do that. So
you had to take a knee.
Yes. Yeah, they had to take the knee.
Yeah.
I think actually all the pirates did. It's just that she was like, not me.
Pirate queen. No, thank you. So... as a workaround for that, she married her adoptive son, Jing Pao, because when they get married, they would have to bow to Bai Ling to say thank you for marrying us. So it was like, she wasn't going to bow to Bai Ling as a, I surrender, I respect your authority, but she would bow because... she was saying, thank you for marrying me and my son.
And opposed to dissolving that marriage.
You have to dissolve the mother-son relationship before you can actually marry your son. Which makes a lot of sense when you think about it.
Yeah. Legally, you can't be both.
Yeah. So that's...
Sarah coming in with...
Truth. So eventually, they, because of the marriage, they did bow. And... the deal was done.
Ah.
The deal was done.
Worked out.
After that, Jing Pao joined the Chinese Navy. They had a son together. And then he died at sea in 1822 at the age of 39. So her second husband, her son lover, died at 39.
Lived two of them.
So after that, Jing Shi moved to Macau. And there she opened a gambling house in brothel. So she had a casino and a brothel.
So she started in Macau. Because that's like the casino place of China.
Is it?
Yeah, it's like the gambling place of China.
Well, yeah, that was in the early 1800s she started that.
Because you go, it's like the Vegas of China.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
To gamble there.
Yeah, she had that casino and a brothel, and she got into the salt trade. So she actually died at the age of 69 in 1884. And that's so rare for pirates to go into retirement and die of old age and not be killed or arrested and hung or anything. So she's definitely really special in that case. And also for being the best fucking pirate that ever lived.
And started a gambling city.
Right.
That's pretty cool.
And I mean, that's such a woman's way of being the best pirate is one, she commanded the most fleets, but also she's like, no, I know when to quit when I'm ahead, and I'm going to retire. I'm going to die old and rich, which is not a thing other pirates do.
Yeah. And I love when she retired, she started another business, multiple businesses.
Yeah. She used some originally in the negotiations. They were like, okay, we'll pardon you, but you can't go near a boat again. And she was like, no, you're going to let us keep some of the boats, and I'm going to get into the salt trade. And they're like, damn it, okay.
Yeah. And not even some of them. They didn't want her to have any, and she's like, I'm gonna keep 300. She's like, fine, you're such a damn good negotiator. So that was her life.
While she and Zheng Bao were at large, they were titled the Golden Dragon of the Imperial Staff.
Ooh. So some bonus bits, some superstitions. So in the West, we've all seen Pirates of the Caribbean. We all know that in the West, there was a superstition about women being on the ship leading to bad luck that did not exist in China, which is good since she was their captain pirate queen.
I mean, I guess she was bad luck for men because she totally ruined it all.
Yeah.
So it was written that she sprinkled her captives with garlic water because it was believed to be protection against getting shot. So that's fascinating. I wonder what that's based in.
That's from a Westerner she captured, though. So part of me is like, wouldn't it be amazing if she was just throwing garlic at him and being like, it's for your own good?
I mean, garlic cures a lot, so.
Yeah, look, I love garlic. I believe it. Yeah. Wait, I eat garlic and I've yet to be shot, so.
It's working.
Oh. Okay. No one shoot me.
Knock on wood.
Jingxi never made any major decisions without consulting her guardian spirit. There were statues of that spirit on each of her ships. Yeah. All of her ships had this. She basically did whatever the guardian said to do. You know, she'd never made a move without it.
And I'd also like to talk a bit about the floating brothels, which were called flower boats, because I think that's just like
a
weird little interesting thing. So flower boats were actually kind of like nightclubs where it wasn't just a boat that was a brothel. I mean, some were because there was a whole community of people who just like lived on boats and worked on boats and set up boat businesses on the Pearl River. But flower boats were kind of like the more fancy ones, and they were like a nightclub. Like, you could go for a party.
Nice. Have a good time. Yeah. Have some sex if you want.
Yeah.
It's a party boat.
Yeah.
We know what party boat.
Yeah. Dinner, gambling, opium, maybe get a prostitute. Flower boats would only entertain Chinese. They wouldn't take foreigners. That was something for land prostitutes.
All right.
The article I read was like, it was a big deal. They were not going to let Westerners or other foreigners at all in on this. This isn't relevant, but I just thought it was super fucking interesting. In 1926, which is well after her time, the flower boat prostitutes went on strike to protest this license tax. Basically, the government was like, oh, you all need to get a new license and there's going to be a fee for that, which is a thing people try in America, and it is a tax on the poor. And they did a walkout strike. And in one day, the city lost so much money that they canceled it. They caved in on the demands.
Yes. Sex workers.
But that tells you, like, what a huge part of trade and industry that those boats were.
Yeah, the economy.
Yeah.
They're like, are you going to tax us? We're going to fuck with your economy for one single day. That's amazing. Get it.
Oh, yeah. And during the 1700s, there were approximately 75,000 floating brothels. Wow. Just... I don't actually know the size of this area, but there were there, and that's a lot.
That's a lot of brothels.
Yeah, it's an impressive number.
Yeah, and I think the fact that they're party boats is, like, really interesting to me because it makes... I think, like, there's a very Pretty Woman-esque thing I'm picturing for, like, this pirate marrying a prostitute, but it was, like, actually, if he was visiting and being entertained by her and they were having real conversations...
Mm-hmm.
It that is a different context than the one I assumed from, like, oh, we just went on some boat and hired a prostitute. It was like, no, maybe, like, there were cards and dinners and shows and entertainment and singers.
Maybe. And jewelry boxes that snap on your fingers.
Yeah.
Magical.
According to a 19th century European traveler, they describe these boats as, the boats resemble enormous gondolas. The greatest part of the whole is taken up by the saloon, furnished with the best style of furniture. In the middle is placed a large round marble-topped table. The chairs are of Chinese ebony, elaborately carved, whilst the saloon is lighted up by European swinging lamps.
Fancy.
So, basically, just party boats, honestly. That's where she came from. She built an empire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she built an empire, and she was super badass, and she was a sex worker, and she took her son as a lover. A lot of sex.
Just ambiently around.
Yeah,
her husband took her husband's lover as her lover, which is a power move.
It is.
Yeah. I'm gonna take your fleet and your boyfriend. Just keep going.
And then outlive you both.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. 69.
They both her husbands died at 39. She was like, you get to 39, you're out.
That's when her husbands expire.
She's like, I don't want to date someone or marry someone in their 40s.
Yeah,
thanks.
I don't want to be dating a 40-year-old.
Ew. No, we get it. We get that.
Yeah. That's why I date younger men, too.
All right, now we're moving on to Fuck, Marry, Kill.
Yeah, let's see
drawings. As you guys can probably imagine, finding pictures was a little tough. So suspend some disbelief here. Use your imagination. See what it could be. Okay. This is Zhang Bao, her adopted son.
Got it.
Son lover, eventual husband.
but only because she had to. This is Jing Shi.
Oh.
Pirate with a sword. And this is Sheng Yi. That's her first husband. It's a painting.
I mean,
as you can tell.
I already like marry her because she's awesome.
Okay, yeah. Yeah.
Kill her first husband and fuck the son.
Okay.
I agree.
That's the call.
I would agree, but also she was a sex worker, so she knows what she's doing.
I'd rather marry her than marry her son. She's got a business savvy.
So, yeah. Man, I think Nalinda nailed it.
Right?
Let's just nailed like it's an easy
one. Yes. I mean, I also would fuck her.
Yes, for sure.
In this choice.
Yeah.
I mean,
look at that terrible painting, but not realistic painting of her first husband.
The only problem with marrying her is, like, I can't sleep with her son or I'll be beheaded.
Yeah.
That's the rule.
Yeah.
Well, those rules extended to the captives.
Oh, I guess not to her. Okay. I think it's negotiable. Okay.
I think it's negotiable.
Yeah. Do you think maybe she was like, I'm tired of my husband sleeping with our adult son. infidelity sucks.
Maybe. Possibly.
She's like, let me see why you like him so much.
Yeah. Let me give this a go.
And then she's like, oh.
Yeah, no, you were right to do this.
Yeah, sure.
She posthumously forgave her husband. Like, no, he fucked me real good too. I get it. So we're going to move on to our final segment. We have some pickup lines. I think I'm going to go first, if that's cool.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Do you want to be my daddy? Because I want to be adopted.
That's amazing.
Thank you.
I bow down to that.
Mm-hmm.
Willingly.
Yep.
Willingly.
Well, you'll still be drowned.
No. Yo ho, yo ho. Yo ho, yo ho. Yo, ho, I'm talking to you. What's up?
Oh, I mean, I guess catcalls are forms of pickup lines for sure.
I'm really aggressive.
Yeah.
Hey, are you a pirate queen? Because I want you to seize my booty.
Yeah, booty, booty.
Yeah.
I was trying to come up with one about a sun lover during this. All of it is, yeah, no.
It's not palatable in today's age.
I know, yeah. It's like...
Nice.
I also have the other alternative. Yo ho, yo ho, a pirate booty I want to see.
Yeah.
That's good.
People respond to rhymes.
I really like Disneyland, you guys.
Yeah.
That's all I could think of is a Pirates of the Caribbean ride.
Yes. I want to go to Disney now.
I know. Me too.
Let's go to Disney. Let's go.
We'll have a historical hookups.
Disney trip.
We should do a Disney one.
Yeah. I love that.
Patrons, please donate specifically for us to go to Disneyland and record something there.
All right. So this was Historical Hookups. I'm Nalinda Palomino.
I'm Lauren Bancroft.
I'm Sarah Golub.
And I'm Savannah Parra.
And thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye, guys. Thanks for listening.
Historical Hookups.
If you want to play this week's Fuck, Marry, Kill along with us, we will be posting those pictures on our Twitter @HistoricalHooks and our Instagram @HistoricalHookups. We want to hear your answers.